Welcome back to the call, everybody. It is the 16th of March, and we are going to have a few mentor calls today with some people. They will be about certain people's, you know, particular situation in their home as they're implementing self-government principles. However, I do think that they're going to be applicable to everybody. And I appreciate people being brave enough to talk about what's happening at home. And I want to just say right up front, let's not say too many names. And let's not, focus on those kind of details. Let's focus on the kind of details that are going to matter most to people and to me as I'm sorting them out. You know, you can say, well, my 7-year-old son or my, 8-year-old daughter, or however you want to phrase it, rather than listing names, just in case by some rare odd chance that somebody on the call knows your family, it could happen. And I mean, maybe they already would know some of the issues anyhow, but it's not going to ruin it if you say their name. Just try not to. Maybe it might be a better way to keep things going if we can list them as son, daughter, stuff like that, husband, wife, those kinds of things. So let's go ahead and get going. I noticed that there are a number of people who are not muted. And if you would like to mute yourself and you don't know how, you press *6 to mute and *6 to unmute. And then you should be. We won't have to hear any telephone noises, any moving around noises, nothing like that. So then we'll be good to go. All right, Michelle, you get to go first. And okay. Tell us, now, you sent me an email and said a whole bunch of things that were going on. I am not planning on sharing that email with people. I'm guessing that we probably ought to start fresh with you describing a situation or you describing a kind of behavior or something that you want help with, and then you can give some background information on it so that everybody on the call is up to speed. Okay?
Okay. Well, my trouble right now particularly is with my 8-year-old son who I laughed the other day on your conference call when you said to really watch them when they start to be 7, 8, because that's really when we started to have trouble with his behavior. He basically has trouble accepting even the smallest no answer at all. If it's a time where we're just relaxed together and there's no expectations for him to accomplish anything, then it's wonderful, and he's so fun to talk to. He's a delightful boy. But as soon as it's time to do chores or to practice, or if he asks to do something and I have to say no, then he completely loses control. For a while, it was really disturbing because he would actually pinch me or hit me. He was physically harmful to me, which none of my other children have done that. He's my third child. But it's mostly now just destructive to the house. He'll stomp the stairs so hard that the windows and the light is rattling. I mean, he's a solid kid.
Right,
and it's really,
right.
Anyway, so my husband is like, because I considered that a negative attention thing that maybe we should ignore since he's on his way to his room type thing, but my husband was worried that it was hurting our house.
Right,
and,
okay.
And actually a picture did fall off the wall in time. Or just little things like he broke the toilet paper holder off the wall when he was angry. Things like that where he's being literally destructive. And about the time of he was baptized in January, and for about 2 or 3 weeks, he was absolutely angelic. And I talked to him about that and said, Hiram, you've been doing so well with controlling your behavior. You just haven't been getting angry. And why? And he said, it's because I was baptized. Which
aww,
I thought was awesome.
But,
yeah, so he really, I know he has the potential and the capability to really control himself and to govern himself. But he doesn't seem to really have the strong enough desire on his own most of the time.
So he honeymooned after his baptism because he was motivated to be good. But,
yes.
But now he's back to the same thing. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and that, you know, I can understand that because I think we probably all go through times like that where we do really well for a while. And anyway, I understand that. I'm more worried than usual at this point because he will be cared for 5 days by my sister and her husband in their home. And I've just started to kind of feel a sense of panic, like, oh my gosh, is he going to, like, I'm not exactly sure what I should tell my sister, if anything at all. And she's been a school teacher, like, she's seen rough behavior, but I don't think she's ever quite seen this side of my son. And he, I don't know, he does tend to do better at other people's houses and with his cousins and things like that. So I'm, anyway, I just wanted to see if there's any.
Does he have behavior problems at school?
He is homeschooled right now. When his behavior problems began, they were never at school. He was in public school at the time. They were always at home.
Okay.
And so I actually pulled him out because I wanted more time to fix what was going on at home. That was one of the big reasons. So he's been home for a year now as we've worked on this.
Okay, great. Well, then I would say, as far as him being watched when you're out of town goes, chances are high. We're going to still talk about what you can do about that, but chances are high that if he didn't have problems at school and, like, when he was there, and if he doesn't usually when he's with his friends and cousins and stuff like that, he probably won't have much of a problem at your sister's house because he will have a different audience there and he will know it. And the audience there will be more like, I don't know, maybe a little bit more judgmental than the normal audience would be at home. And not in a bad way, but, you know, when you're with society, you do understand that they, even kids, usually get, they probably couldn't articulate it, but inside they feel those people are deciding things about me. You know what I mean? And so they know because we all do it, because every person, when they're with another person, starts deciding things, making inferences based upon certain behaviors that they see or words that, you know, happen. I mean, you know, it's a very, very good example of that is, you know, last night I was at my caucus night with a whole bunch of people and all these people stood up and were running for something. And as they do that, you see things about their behavior and you automatically make inferences. You absolutely have to because you're going to try to vote for somebody. We just do it automatically. We put people in certain camps. So he's going to know that. And I don't think he's going to have as hard of a time as you might think. Now, you're going to be gone for how many days?
About 5.
Okay.
An anniversary trip.
Well, good for you. That's exciting.
Thank you.
I actually think that it is possible in that many days. There's something that happens about 3 days in to any visit, whether you love the people or not. Some people can only hold out for about 3 days without kind of having an emotional time. George Washington used to say, fish and visitors stink in 3 days. And sometimes that is true. So there is, after about the 3 day mark, he could do some stuff. If it's a trip that's less than 3 days, he'd probably be able to hold out okay. So maybe let's talk about what they can do quickly. They can probably, what you want to do is be, you want to be rather upfront with them. I think that's going to serve your sister best. If she doesn't already know the situation, then you can say, I think it would be a really good idea if my son knew your family's rules, or my children. You said he's the third of how many?
Of four that will be there. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's like second to the last of the children. Okay. So, but you can say that, why don't you make sure and tell them exactly up front, you know, what the consequences are at your house. And because ideally when you leave somebody with somebody else, that person that's there that you've left into somebody else's home, they have to follow what happens in that person's home. I mean, that's easier on the parent that's tending them to say, okay, this is our rule in our home. But then for you to warn her ahead of time and say, let them know everything up front ahead of time so that there's no surprises. So-and-so, my 8-year-old son, he has a tendency to get a little anxious, and if he doesn't know what's expected. And then you can also say, just so you know, my children have been taught how to follow instructions, how to accept no answers, you know, the like, all those kinds of things.
Even if he really hasn't learned that well yet.
Well, okay. You could just say, I've taught them how, I guess. And then you would say, you know, so these other kids are pretty good at it. He has a kind of a hard time. But if he's ever not following your instructions or not accepting no answers or whatever, then, you know, whatever the negative consequences are in your house, and you want to check that. Say, we usually do extra chores, or we usually do whatever you usually do. And then you can say you're welcome to just use that with them, or you can use whatever you do in your house. But, I'm willing to support whatever you do in your house, and it's either way is fine with me. Because ultimately, they're the ones who are parenting for the 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to do it that way. When you leave somebody at someone else's house, whether they are a babysitter when you're going to work or whether they are watching someone when you go out of town, you pretty much have to choose that whatever the rules are in their house, that's what they're going to have to live by, and you have to just kind of be okay with it. It's sort of the nature of the beast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that sounds good. Yeah, so...
And maybe, do you think maybe too, if I counsel with him beforehand and explain that it will be their rules, you know, at their house, and Aunt Becky will... Oh, sorry, my sister will tell you what their rules are, and...
Yeah, I think you definitely should, with all the kids, pre-teach, and even remind the children... that people decide things in their mind when they're around you. Say, you know, your aunt and uncle love you guys a real lot, but, and so do your cousins, you know, and everything, but when you're there, they will watch you and the way you behave. They'll watch if you're nice to other people. They'll watch if you're respectful to other people. And they will decide things about you in their mind when you're there. This is a truth, and it is not manipulative at all to tell someone this, because sometimes people forget that fact when they are acting out, and then they wonder, how come my relationship is damaged, or how come somebody treats me different than everybody else? And so even though it would be a great, lovely, perfect world if every single person always gave everyone the benefit of the doubt and always completely forgave right in the minute and would never think anything ill of another person, that is just not how people function. And so you do your children a service to let them know that. I tell my children this all the time. And so then, you know, you let them know that and you say, so just remember that if you are not obedient to them, if they tell you to do something and you don't do it, they will think things in their mind, things possibly like, oh, you know, so-and-so is a really out-of-control child, or, oh, so-and-so is, you know, really disrespectful and I don't like being with them. on a long-term basis, you know, or I don't know if I want to do this again next time because they haven't been able to help out like all of the other kids, or whatever the situation is. If you just kind of explain it in a way where their brains will understand, you know, what the adult brains and the other kid brains are doing, you also need to know that, or tell them that, you know, when if you were to have a fit of some sort at their house, even the other children will think in their minds, oh, so-and-so is out of control. I don't feel very safe around them. They're not a very happy person. You know, they don't seem very fun. This isn't fun. And just let them know, because even little children, when other little children are doing that, they retreat. They withdraw because they're like, okay, the fun's over. Who are you? Mom, when are they going home? They're bugging me. I mean, they start with that, and your children need to know. And I think what you do is you tell all of the children, you can choose to do it two different ways depending on their behaviors. I mean, not behaviors, personalities. You can tell each one individually and discuss it a little bit. Or you can do the not pointed way of bringing anyone up, you know, personally, and you can present it to the group. And then that way the whole group is there to validate somewhat that, yeah, we all knew this, you know. We all had a talk about it, and we talked for 5 minutes about it, and so we get it. And then, you know, because after you explain those things, you can say, so what do you think that your behavior should be at Aunt So-and-so's? And then they can discuss, you know, how do you think you ought to treat the other cousins? When Aunt So-and-so asks you to clear the dishes, or, you know, help unload the dishwasher or something, or do a chore because you're going to have to do chores there, what do you think that your answer should be? You remember how to follow an instruction, right? At that point, you speak to them in the will-do language. Oh, for sure you will do this. For sure you will do that. And you don't speak to them in the, I really hope you might consider doing, because then all of a sudden you open the door for them to go, oh, yeah, I could be really bad there. You know, it's better for them to just envision, oh, yeah, I will do that, I will do that, I will do that, because in a really positive, you know, kind of a way. And then make sure and talk to your sister, like I said, and explain what the rules usually are at your house, what they should know. Also say, I totally anticipate that so-and-so might have a few problems a few days in, just so you know. Say, I hope he doesn't, but it could happen. And if so, you know, here's a couple of things to watch for and use your best judgment, you know. Leave it to them. Don't look over your sister's shoulder a ton. You want her to be able to pitch it for you again sometime, and you want her to feel like you completely trust how she's going to handle everything. You're just letting her know a couple of things, and that so-and-so can get a little bit, you know, spent after a couple of days.
Okay.
That's what I would do if it were me.
Thank you. That is super helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as his behavior, let's just take maybe another 7 minutes and let's discuss that, and then I'll probably take, I have somebody else on who is supposed to be having questions today, and if not, we can go back to it. So let's talk a little bit about, I mean, you had said he really can't accept a no answer is what you said. But that you know he can, because you've seen him do it before for a certain period of time. And what was the period of time? Well, also, I want to say, before we get into that, that as you were going along, not only can he not accept no answers, he is choosing not to follow instructions. That's very clear. And so that real basic following instructions doesn't sound like it's there yet, because if you say, you know, I tell him to go do a task and he, you know, loses control or gets aggressive,
Yes.
So, anyway.
There's also sibling trouble, too, pretty hard when they're home.
Okay.
It just seems in general that just...
Is he the only one who's home in the day and all the rest go to school?
No, he has a 2-year-old sister that's also home.
Oh, okay. So, and that's the next youngest down?
Yes, and he does fine with her. I mean,
okay.
She hit him the other day, and he just stood there and turned the other cheek, basically. And I praised him. I said, "That is so good. See, you can do it."
Yeah.
And so, but with his older brothers, he's got 2 older brothers, and they're, yeah, when they're home, then we have lots of scuffles right now.
Okay, so
it's almost always between him and someone else. It's almost never the first two. It's always him and someone else, it seems like.
So we have 3 brothers, and then we have the 1 little baby sister.
Yes.
Okay. Well, there's some reasons there he would treat baby sister differently. Number one, he's with her more, which strengthens the relationship. Number two, she's teeny compared to him and compared to everybody else, and he probably has that wonderful quality that older people get when there's a younger person around, where they feel a need to look out for the young person. They also give them some allowances. I mean, as parents, we do that too. But he probably gives her some allowances, like, okay, she's just 2, and she's still learning. And so he probably gives her that. He probably feels a kinship to her too, actually. As the next up from her, he probably nurtures her a lot. And he also probably feels like, since the other brothers are older than him, that he's maybe not as significant as the other boys. And maybe he has a competitive nature. I'm just inferring lots of stuff here. I don't know if it's true.
that sounds pretty on base.
Correct me if I'm wrong. But I'm just assuming here that he probably has a competitive nature, and those other boys are always going to be better than him because they're older than him. I mean, not better, but you know what I mean. They'll be able
right.
to accomplish
more
and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that he, but with this other person, this other little sibling, he probably actually has a different kind of love for her than he does for the other brothers, because he almost probably feels a need to watch out for her, just knowing that home isn't always safe. And even if he's making home not safe sometimes, I'm saying that statement because a person who acts out like that does not see their environment as safe. If they are going to have a fit and break things in the house or pinch somebody else, they are, whether it's imaginative or whether it is real, they are seeing themselves in a battle, in a not safe environment. And so it's something that if you can just visualize that and have compassion with him, that he is actually, when he's acting out like that, feeling like, you know, no one gets me, no one understands how I feel about this, I don't feel safe because I feel like I'm all alone. That's what he's telling you every time he's freaking out. And so instead of just doing management, make sure that your tone is good. I know that you said in your email that you've worked very diligently on being calm as a parent and trying to even be more calm than you used to be. And that's right, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You also said you're on step number 4. Is that right? Am I remembering that right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
But you're on step number 4, which is seeking to understand. And
yes.
seeking to understand is a really hard thing to do. I believe I remember reading in your email that you said, and it is hard, this is a hard step, you know, which is true, to seek to understand another person. But I imagine that's where he's coming from. And if you can remember that, and so that when he's having a hard time, that you can remember to say a lot of things like, I know that you don't want to do this chore. Or I know that you don't like this no answer. You should take some deep breaths and disagree appropriately. Oh, I'm sorry, my phone beeped. I don't know if you heard that.
That's okay, to disagree appropriately.
Yeah, that you should disagree appropriately about it. And so you just, I mean, just saying two statements in the right tone where you say, I know, blah, blah, you should, blah, blah. Give him that as a merciful moment every time. And or even say, yeah, even before you describe with him, even before, if he's going to always lose it. The other thing is he needs to do lots of practicing on. Now, if you're on step four, does that mean that you're not really worrying about the four basics yet as much? You're just kind of trying
right.
to get the tone right?
Okay. I read the whole book, so I have an idea of what they are, but I haven't started teaching those specifically to them. I've just started to let it kind of infiltrate our vocabulary.
good. And so you're doing a lot of describing, okay? So then disagreeing appropriately, you could just say, you know, you should disagree appropriately, which means to calmly talk to me about it. You know, that we, after we're calm, we talk. So if you let him know ahead of time before there's ever a problem, and then later you give him the specific steps to doing it when you get to that point, but that you say, we calmly talk about it after.
Okay.
And so I would leave it to that right now because you're in a mode of seeking to understand. That is the perfect mode you could be at with this kid.
Yes, and I hate to even break in at all because I love everything you say, but just in the past day, yesterday morning, I felt like was kind of a breakthrough starting to be effective. I almost emailed you back saying, I think I know what to do. But I'm glad I didn't because I'm glad for what you've already said. But anyway, I was looking into his eyes as we were doing school and doing what you talked about where you really try to get a sense for who he really is.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, it makes me emotional. And it was like I remembered why I love him so much. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't cry then either. Like, I just could sense it,
right,
like you talked about. And I think he sensed it too, not even on a conscious level, because
right.
the entire rest of the day, he was so peaceful and didn't have any tantrum. And I told my husband that night, he went through a whole day with no tantrum today. And
wow.
I told him, I think it's because of this. And I told him, and I didn't even say anything to him, to Hiram, I mean, sorry, to my son about it. and I could just tell that he felt more understood.
Right.
And I was amazed at how powerful that was.
Oh, wow. What a great story. And I hope everybody else who's listening on the call really gets what you're saying. You're saying you saw who he really was on the inside and the potential that he has. And that you actually established a connection with him, a heart-to-heart kind of connection, so that he would have a change, so that he ended up. It wasn't even to do it. It was just because you really wanted to understand.
That's
and then
right.
because he felt that, he chose to make a change.
That's right.
He chose to be a different person.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is incredible. What a wonderful moment. I hope you wrote it in your journal.
I did, actually.
What a wonderful story. I just think it's absolutely imperative that people remember the way that you feel about another person on the inside does have a lot to do with the way that they act. So one thing I was going to tell you was, you know, do some describing still when things are going wrong. Make sure
you're... Can I ask a question about that real quick?
Level. Uh-huh.
When I've tried the describing before, mm-hmm. Or when I've been doing it lately, I have a hard time finding the words that aren't accusing. Like, you got mad, you were banging things. I don't know. To me, it sounds accusing, but is that how you do it?
Well, so what I would usually do, what I usually do is I say, just a few moments ago, I told you to go and clean your room, and you looked at me, and then you did this with your face, and then you did this with your hands, and then you walked down the hall and you did this. And so
Wow. So
I know that you are frustrated. I also know that right now you don't want to clean your room. But when you do those things, that's not following instructions, and what it tells me is that you don't care about following what I say as a parent, and that's bad for our relationship. What you should do is, you should. So do you see how when you describe, it's not about what label, that it, like it's not about you had an attitude problem. I mean, with some kids, you could do that and describe it in that way, and they'd still get it, and it'd be fine. But for the majority of people, if you take it to a more personal level, and you say, you rolled your eyes, you gave a deep sigh, you did this,
yeah,
and
okay,
you show them exactly what they did, then they don't see you as labeling them. If they have a tendency to take things personally, they see you as analyzing step by step what happened and then saying, this choice here was wrong because.
Okay, that's super helpful. I can see already the main difference between how I've been doing it and how you just did it is the tone. Because you talk very calmly and very slowly, and I haven't been doing that.
Okay.
As well. Like, I haven't been, like, yelling or doing it angrily, but just I can
right.
sense that there's a deeper calm that you're doing it with, and that's
there,
lower. So I need to do that.
There is a reason that step number one had to be calm. Even though
that.
I would have loved to have step number one be the four basic skills, and the people who were saying, make a program, even were saying, just start with the four basic skills and then add everything else to it. And the more I thought about it, I thought, I can't have my program be that way because everything is founded upon that tone.
Mm-hmm.
That tone is the mercy and the justice. So if you can describe things in that manner... and the key thing is, if he storms off, you take a moment and get yourself calm. And soon you'll get to where you don't need any time. You can just, he storms off, you wait about 10 seconds, you walk casually down the hall, and you say, 8-year-old son, just now, I told, you know, and then you can just start in on it. And he may have a fit the whole time, but you just maintain the description, especially because you don't have all the other structural things in place yet. Then you maintain the calm, and you tell him what he's earned. And then you know, because I'm sure you've got a consequence system in place, right?
It's been subtracting money from his account, money
okay.
that he has earned through chores.
Okay, so you have a... You do have a plus and minus kind of system going on. Okay, and that's fine. That's great. So long
not
as it works.
Not plus, though. I just realized there's not a plus.
You need to have a plus.
Money back in?
If that's your
system.
Oh, my
gosh. I'm so glad that you brought that up. You're right.
Yeah, if you're using that kind of a system, then you definitely have to have a plus as well. For sure.
When we see him,
yeah.
He controls.
Yeah, well, and, I mean, obviously when he's following instructions and doing chores, then that is a plus, and you are doing that, right? Because that's for chores,
oh, right.
you said,
right?
Because that's
how he earns it.
Yeah,
right.
that
yeah.
he earns money for chores. But even more deeply for him is, you know, how he relates to the family members. So when he did not blow up at little sister when she hit him and you knew it hurt, you should have said, you know what, on your chart for your money or however you keep track of it, I think we should add another 50 cents or however, you know, whatever. And actually what you would say is you'd say, just now you did this and, you know, that was absolutely incredible. You showed so much love to her. And I know that, you know, if you can maintain that with her throughout, she's going to learn how to be that way, because the way you treat her is what she's going to learn. And so she'll be kind to you. You're going to have a good relationship, you know, because you chose that. And because that was a hard choice for anybody to choose to be that kind, then I think you've earned to have 50 more cents back in your money account or however you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
I think that would be great. Anyway, so it sounds to me like he definitely has potential. Don't lose hope. All of his behavioral problems are going to be deeply affected by the tone you have, how you understand him, and how consistent you are. Do make sure that if you have a consequence system, you follow through with it, and that if there's positives, that you follow through with that too. And then as you add more elements to the structure in the home, then his stuff will be completely cured. He is going to need a little bit of structure if he has a habit of, you know, going out of control. And so it might not be until step 7, which is in a few weeks for you, however long it's going to take you, but, you know, work it through at your own pace. But it might not be until step 7 when you're actually using the rule of 3 and teaching him that he will have a complete shift, because then you will have something there that is completely prepared for every outburst. But you might be surprised that the tone you have, how much it will do. So anyway, that's great stuff. And as you go along, I love having calls like this, and I really envisioned we would have calls like this on this call a lot. But then at the beginning, a whole bunch of people weren't really wanting to say much. So as you go along, if you want another, you know, installment of this call, this is why I have these calls. This really is the reason. And so if you want another installment of the call, you know, and we do, okay, now we're here, email me and let's do it again. Okay?
Great.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Now, I don't know if we've got Jennifer. Are you on the call? Because you had also had some things that you wanted to talk about. I've got about 20 minutes that we could discuss if you're there. Okay. I'm not getting any answer. She probably would have clicked over by now. Okay, well, if there is anybody else on the call that has any questions, or Michelle, if you have anything further that you would like me to discuss, like I said, I have probably another maybe 15, 20 minutes that I could talk on the call today. And, you know, and if not, we can call it good too. Is there anything else anybody would like me to address?
Nicolene.
Yes.
I have a question. I have two diabetics, type 1 diabetics, that they have episodes where their blood sugar goes low.
Right.
And so at times, my husband and I are not here, and so they just eat whatever they can find that will bring their blood sugar up.
Right, right.
Well, now, they're both teenagers, they're 17 and 15, and now they will eat whatever they want, whenever they want, and I just had a discussion with my 17-year-old daughter last night about it, because she had helped herself to some food, and she wasn't low,
oh.
Her blood sugar wasn't low, and she was helping herself, and I said, I told her, I said, you know, we have made a rule in our house that if you want to eat something, you need to ask, you know. Mm-hmm. We have our meals, and of course they don't have to ask to eat our meals, but.
Right, right.
And she says, well, food is meant to be eaten, and so I don't know why you tell us we can't eat anything.
Mm.
And so she just wants to be able to eat whenever she wants and not have any, you know, just do whatever she wants pretty much. And I began to tell her that, you know, she wasn't accepting a no answer, and she just is freaking out pretty much, and then started attacking me, not physically, but, you know, everything I do wrong.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and it got to be, you know, just pretty mean.
Sounds like a power struggle, yeah.
So I just told her, you know, we're done talking right now because you're not calm and
mm-hmm.
it's not going to do any good. And so, anyways, I'm just wondering if I'm the only mean parent that doesn't allow their child to eat all the time, all day long. And I told her, I also told her, I says, you know, Sarai, we're here so that we can control our bodies, not for our bodies control us.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you just eat all day whenever you want, you're not in control.
Right. Right.
But because she's 17 and she's one of the problems that we're having right now with her is that she's really sick all the time. She's got headaches. Her stomach hurts all the time. She's throwing up. She's she's just miserable all the time. And
like,
so then when
you mean
sick,
all the time? You mean all the time? Like, what do you mean? Like it's weekly? It's daily?
Her headaches have been daily for probably the last 2 to 3 months, and we take her to the doctor, and we take her to the doctor, and we take her to the doctor, and we just, and they really think that it's stress related. She's a senior in high school, and because of sicknesses that she's had,
and it's not blood sugar related.
Well, you know,
You can get headaches from going too low, for sure. I mean, my sister's diabetic, and, you know, I kind of helped raise her while my mom was working. She got diabetes when she was 8, so I mean, I get how all that works. But
she doesn't seem to get them when she's low. She
gets them when she's high?
She just gets them all the time, and she hasn't kept a headache log, which would have been very helpful.
Uh-huh.
And the doctor suggested that she does that, but she hasn't at this point. She's really
mm-hmm.
stressed with school, and she has nightmares at night. And she's just miserable and wanting to just, she's to the point where she's done. She's tired of everything that's going on, and she's been suicidal before. And been and gotten help for that, and recently in her school there's been 2 suicides.
Nice. Okay.
And
that's,
so
that's of
I'm sure that brings it up to her, the forefront of her mind again, you know.
Mhm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but actually suicide rates are on the rise. There are lots of them. There are a lot of kids in my area who have attempted, and I am just absolutely amazed. I've never heard of so many suicides. People do not have a real connection to the world, I think, which means that they don't have true value in relationships, because everything is somewhat of a self-service virtual society, especially for the kids. And even when they're at school, the stuff there with the peers is so virtual. Even when they're there, it's very interesting how that plays in and disconnects them from each other so much. So she might be the kind of a person that doesn't feel really complete unless she has a good connection in relationships, you know, with people. That's not so wrong, because that's how we're programmed to be. She just might be one of those people that doesn't deal well with all the disconnection out there and all the insincerity and all of the selfishness that really, truly she's in every day, right? I mean, that's a big part of the teenage world, especially when they're all together and quite frankly, they're all, okay, these are blanket statements, okay? But there's a lot of apathy, a lot of laziness, a lot of selfishness, a lot of like, entertain me, do for me, I deserve, a lot of entitlement issues and things going on. And those things lead to unhappiness anyway, but they're cultural. They're also part of, they're somewhat part of that stage of life anyway, but culturally right now in our world, they are even more dramatic than normal, because our society has so many indulgences that, and the kids even have so many that they lose touch. And so they even lose touch with each other in many ways. A lot of their conversations are about what so-and-so texted them, a picture that they got, you know, whatever it has to be, happens to be about. And so it's just not as connective. And she may be the kind of person, I'm again just guessing here, that doesn't feel complete without having a real secure connection with people in her life. It sounds to me like she doesn't have as secure of a connection with you and possibly with the family as she's maybe had in the past as well. Maybe it's due to stress. Maybe she has disconnected herself. Maybe everybody's become increasingly busy and there just isn't time for, you know, as much bonding to do things together, you and her or the family together. You know, I don't know. But just the way that you're describing some of her behaviors, making a big deal over snacks and over kind of dumb little things, and then the element of stress in her life and her health problems, I would say that a lot of those things could be fixed if all of a sudden she felt more secure and safe in her relationships. Now, the ones at school, you can't change those other kids. So what you have to do is try and give her the tools to manage those things. The ones at home, you can do a lot more about. Let's talk for a second about the snacks. There are two different camps on this issue, I have found. Some people take the opinion of, you know, I want you to feel comfortable here. This is your house, and I don't want you to feel like you're a guest in your own house and that somehow I'm, you know, the dictator and you're the, you know, just the person who has to check everything with me. Like, some people don't like that. And so then food and all kinds of stuff are just a free-for-all. Then the other camp is the camp where family or where a parent will say, there's a certain amount of respect that must exist in relationships. And one of the best ways to teach my children respect is for them to understand that everything here is in fact not theirs, but that it is ours. We have built it, we have made it, and it is all for their benefit, but they need to show us a certain amount of respect in relation to that, to, you know, respect our position in the family, to respect that we have a plan for the family, and that our plan for the family is king. I mean, they can make their own plan once they're gone, kind of a thing. That's the other camp. I am also more in that second camp. I do believe that children are greatly benefited by being held to a standard of respect. That children are happier, relationships are better, parents are supported and less run down and less frustrated. There are less teeny tiny issues to worry about when the child understands the boundaries in the home, and they understand them with the mindset of that there must be respect for the parents. Even if they don't always completely agree with the parents, that there must be respect there. When you're talking about taking food without asking, it's a boundary issue. That's them thinking that they deserve food. It's an entitlement thing. Like I said, some people may think that's nothing. You obviously don't feel that way. You feel a certain amount of disrespect, and maybe even it inconveniences you in your cooking when you're trying to prepare things for the family or what have you. My children are all taught to ask for food before they have it, and they do. I will say that my oldest son, who's 15 right now, if there's anyone who has a problem with asking for food, it's him. It's kind of funny, but they get to a certain stage where they feel like, hey, I make a lot of the food around here. I know what I can have. For breakfast, when it's breakfast time, there are certain things they know they can have, so they don't have to ask for that. For lunchtime, there are certain things that they know they can have as well. And so they don't have to ask for those things as well. But if they want something that is not some of the normal, you know, like a peanut butter sandwich or whatever it is, like if they all of a sudden want to, and they know they can always have salad, that's one of those things. We always can have salad. We always can have apples and oranges and vegetables, carrots, and things like that. Those things, unless they're special vegetables, like avocados are special because they usually go in certain recipes and things like that. So my kids know if they want to have avocado, they have to ask. You know, there's a few things like that. But for the most part, at our house, produce is free game. They know it because I encourage eating it. So if they want to graze, then they can graze on produce, and I keep a whole bunch in the house. But if they want cookies that have been made, and it's lunchtime or middle of the day or whatever, they also know they have to ask for cookies. The one thing with the diabetes thing, so what I'm saying is I believe that there's no problem in having that as a rule. Just make sure that it's defined well enough and decide if you want to have some free-for-alls or decide if you want to just go to the straight. No, just ask me. A 17-year-old probably feels that is punitive in a way for you to, you know, request that of them when they are already so old. It has nothing to do with their age. It has to do with the fact that they respect your house, and that even when they leave your house, when they come back when they're adults, they have to respect it, even when they're adults, because it's not theirs, and it's a great skill for them to learn. About the diabetes, I'm guessing you're monitoring snacks and stuff like that for their health. Is that right?
Well, yes, because
I mean,
like last...
What's that?
Well, because like last night, her blood sugar was high. It was not in a good normal range, and she was still having a lot of carbs.
Right. Okay. So that means that, you know, you're kind of going, listen, we don't want to have all the effects on your body of this. And maybe she's not even completely clear as to some of the reasons why you would care about all that kind of stuff, you know, with her health and everything else the way it is. It is really hard to be a diabetic teenager. Is she on a pump?
No.
Okay.
My son is.
I was going to say, don't put her on a pump till she's in control. Okay, because otherwise it'll just be worse and worse and worse. But, yeah, that's hard. One thing I would really do is educate her even more about the effects of food. And I don't know if you've done tons of studies on the effects of food. It's something that recently I have found very interesting to study. This is a teeny bit off topic, but hopefully it helps you. You know, there are things like a buckwheat, for example. Buckwheat has been proven to lower blood sugar and to, well, let's say keep it level, not necessarily lower it, but keep it level. Stevia. Stevia is a sweetener that's a leaf that they grind up that grows over in Japan. That also keeps blood sugar level. There are some things, and also eating a certain kind of diet, obviously low carb, but, you know, high in a lot of, there's certain kind of, you know, vitamins and things like that. Like there are things, my sister who has had type 1 diabetes, has, and maybe, you know, maybe someday I'll have her do a call or something, but she has had type 1 diabetes since she was 8, and she's always had, you know, either been on a pump or whatever. She's still on a pump, but she doesn't ever have to give herself any insulin in the day. She only ever gives herself, I think, maybe one thing of insulin now at night, and she used to be doing it multiple times a day, every single time she ate. But because she's changed some things in her lifestyle, she doesn't even need that anymore. I'm wondering, does your daughter know freedom is possible? Because if she were to know that, if she were to meet someone who has type 1 and is able to not have to worry about that and is living a very healthy, normal, productive life and only maybe gives insulin once a day, like,
yeah,
and
I think that would be very helpful.
Then she might actually take her health into her own hands. See, before anyone ever chooses to learn self-government and want it, they have to see there's some sort of benefit, because we're all just a little bit selfish. I mean, it's just how we are. And for anyone to make a health change, they have to see it really could work for them. Like for anyone to do a diet, for instance. Okay, so I've lost 26 pounds since Thanksgiving with some stuff that I've been doing, some nutritional things. Like I said, I'm really getting into understanding what different things do to the body. And I don't believe in starvation, never have, but have tried for years various different things, even including kind of starvation, to lose weight. And all of a sudden, there's some things that I'm doing, some things that I'm eating that are making my body release weight. Wow, how great is that? So now all of a sudden, these other friends and family members around me that have had the same similar kind of struggle are going, what are you doing? So then I say what I'm doing, and they say, well, then I'm going to try that too. What are you eating exactly? Okay, how much of that do you have? Da-da-da-da. Because there's proof, because they have a vision. Well, wait, if she can do it, and she's struggled before just like I have, then maybe I can do the same thing too and get results. She might need to see somebody get different results from having diabetes than what the normal mindset is. In her mind, she's got something to deal with for the rest of her life. She might as well live it up here and there, because otherwise life stinks.
Well, and with her, when she goes to the doctor and everything else, they're constantly telling her the negative aspects if she doesn't take care of her diabetes,
right?
What can happen? And I know I've been on that path also, but and so she's only seen, oh, if I keep doing this and this is the negative, but she doesn't say, oh, well, if I eat this way, this is the positive.
Yeah, like, does she want to have kids one day? Because if she damages her kidneys and all that kind of stuff now, a diabetic having children, you know, they get more cholesterol in their eyes and places in their hearts when they have kids. Their liver take and their kidneys take a beating every time they're going to have children. She's a girl. She's almost a woman. What's her plans? You know, what's on the horizon? Does she want to be turned down by her doctor when she wants to have a child one day? Like, she's got to look ahead. She's 17. They don't always look ahead. But she should be getting to a phase where she's starting to look ahead to the future. And, you know, there's more possibilities out there for her than she realizes. So, and you know, maybe I could even possibly get my sister to, you know, maybe you could arrange some sort of a call with her sometime or something with your daughter or something, where she could meet somebody who's learned a lot along the way and who can motivate her to know that there's a better way and that you can become free of a lot of stuff. Anyway, I think vision has a lot to do with a person's success and why they would make a change. You all know that. And she needs to have a positive vision of what the future could hold. That's the whole essence behind pre-teaching. When you say that she can't accept no answers and she's stressed at school, let me just throw out a couple of ideas, and then I probably am going to have to wrap this up. But we can talk more later should you need to know more later. It is why we have these calls. But the the stress at school, if she is not finding the connections there that she needs, if she was to a point where becoming suicidal is an option, and if that could be a point again in the future, there are online high schools. I mean, she's almost done, I guess. Is she graduating this year?
Yes.
Okay, well then don't worry about that. But you're going to want to, when she goes into her college years, there's more stress there, you know. And every person doesn't have to go to college, but you're going to want to set up a plan for her then for how to manage stress. I was going to say, you know, if your children are having stress in school, there are online schools that people can go to. So that then they can do things a little bit more at their own pace, a little bit more at their own schedule, and they also don't have the social junk that takes up a lot of their energy, because it does,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have to worry about it. It sounds like social interactions in the family and at home are sucking her dry, because she's probably by nature an emotional person, like emotionally driven, emotionally nurtured, emotionally, you know, affected, and so that's probably sucking a lot of her energy. People also have a tendency to snack and eat a lot of junk when they're emotional, and so, yeah, you're probably right. There's probably stress that has a lot to do with it. So then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to teach her how to manage her stress. It's got to be something that you analyze then on a daily basis, where you set up a time to chat with her every day at a certain time. You know, maybe it's right after dinner. Maybe it's, you know, whenever she's around. Maybe it's early in the morning. And you make a plan and say, hey, let's take 5 minutes and just reiterate. I know some people think affirmations are really stupid, especially because, you know, there was an old show years ago that really made fun of affirmations. And I've gone both ways on them, but I must say, there is something to looking yourself in the mirror in the morning or talking to somebody else in the morning and saying, this is what I'm going to do this day, that actually holds you to it. So every morning saying, okay, there's going to be stress that happens at school today. There's going to be whatever it is. So what if you fail at something? What do you do? What you do is you choose to say, okay, I failed. And then you choose to be assertive and talk to the person and say, what can I do to fix this? Because I'm not pleased with my grade. Or I'm not pleased with my performance. I think I could have done better. What should I do? You teach her how to win the respect of all those teachers. And then she will have success with them relationship-wise as well. And then you teach, you know, also talk to her about stuff with her friends. Well, when the friends are doing this and this and this, and when they're saying this and these things that bug you, what are you going to do? Well, today you're going to go find somebody else more upbeat, you know, or you're going to sit down and you're going to write to yourself good things about that's going on or whatever when you start feeling that way. But you give her some sort of strategy, whatever's going to work for her, something that she can work on in order to make her life a little bit less stressful. Keeping a journal could be really important for her. Does she keep a journal?
I don't think so, other than, well, I think she does keep a journal to some extent, yes.
Okay, or write letters to each other each day.
Okay.
Letters where you write to her and tell her the great things you saw about her that day. And you tell her things about your life and your day and what happened. And maybe even sometimes you invite her out for a date in the letter. And, hey, can you put it on your schedule? Maybe you hand her a note. Maybe every night you write her a letter for a while. And then you say, please write back. And then she writes back to you. Say, I want to know how your day is going. I mean, that's a much more roundabout way of discussing, but if she's not going to sit and discuss with you, that's an option. Ideally, you'd like to have her invested enough that she will open up to you and you guys can just sit and really talk about stuff. But if she has disconnected herself from you, then in that way where she's not going to share personal thoughts, sometimes people will write stuff they would never say. The internet proves that. So, anyway, texting proves that. There's things that prove kids will say stuff written that they would never say to your face. So, those are some ideas. She definitely does need to understand the benefit. I think she needs more vision, it sounds to me like, and more connection in the relationships. More analysis happening in a positive light. And she needs to understand, listen, when I tell you no for something, I would love to hear your disagreement if you're going to do it in an appropriate way. Appropriate is it happens like this. But you need to be able to say okay, because if you can't respect me in my own home with my own things, then our relationship is never going to be as good as it can be. And this is my vision for our relationship. I mean, just tell her, I want to be best friends with you. I want to be, you know, I want to have the kind of relationship where we call each other all the time, where we tell each other, you know, things every day, where we go out to lunch once a month, you know, whatever it is, the kind of relationship that you want with her. Give her a vision of this beautiful kind of a connection you want to have. And then strive to do it right now. So, anyway, I hope that's good. Does that help you in any way? I hope so.
Oh, yes. That's very good information. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Everyone's situation is so different, and that's why I have these calls. I try to touch on different things all the time to try and help with some depth. I would love to have more calls like this. If there are other people on the implementation course that would like to have a time where they talk to me for a half an hour or something about what's going on one of these calls, not only could it benefit you, but I think it also benefits other people on the call to know they're not alone in dealing with certain things, to also know, oh, we've got that same thing going on. I'm going to try that. It's really helpful. And to hear a little bit more details from the people is helpful for me, too, not to have to try to touch every single aspect of something because I'm not sure where you're at. When you can say where you're at, it makes the question answering go a lot quicker. Anyway, so thank you so much for, I don't even know who you are because I don't know voices super great, but thank you for asking that and for bringing something up, which I know is going to affect other families as well. And if anybody else has anything that they want to share or talk about next week, then let me know. And I will still continue to have guests speakers from time to time. I will also continue to do some other presentations on other topics I think would be very helpful from time to time. However, you know, what we've done today is what I think benefits you guys the most. If you feel differently about that, let me know. So I will still incorporate those other things, guest speakers and classes, into these calls. But the majority of the calls, I would love to be, you know, spent this way where we're talking about what's going on at your house and trying to help you figure out how you can fix it. So anyway, and I'm happy to still answer questions via email, and I'll read your question and I'll answer it. It's just not as clear oftentimes, and sometimes I get a tone from you over the phone that I can understand a little bit better about what's happening, where when I read it in your words, I have to just assume, and sometimes I don't know which way to assume, and so I have to talk forever about it. So, okay, well, you guys have a great weekend. I'm going to have a great weekend. I love St. Patrick's Day, and it's tomorrow, so wear green, and pinch your children and all that good stuff. And I will plan on talking with you all next week.